Chapter 16, Slag's Triumph. Once I called to it, the tamarack flew down to me and landed on my outstretched arm. Its expectant eyes searched my fingers for a treat just as Pepper rushed to my side with her tray. I snatched some food off the plate and offered it to the creature, which quickly relieved me of it. He would need a reward for what I wanted him to do. Hopefully, he would understand my whispered instructions. Pepper's concerned voice couldn't pierce my concentration. I was intent on my plan. It had to work. I didn't want to get trapped in this world, or worse, die. There had to be a way out. Soldiers' footfalls replaced the echo of the bell, and soon we were surrounded by men clad in black leather uniforms with Slag's emblem on their chests. The tamarack flew over the guards' heads with its claws clenched tightly around my gift. It curved and swooped out one of the open arches, and I breathed a sigh of relief, hoping it was as smart as I needed it to be. If it wasn't, then we would never get home. "Malik," Roderick sputtered. My attention snapped back to what was happening around me. Standing in the forefront of the group was Malik. It was him, I was sure of it. But he seemed different somehow. Maybe it was the devilish grin he was wearing as he stared at us. It made me uneasy. "I hear you were looking for me," he said and flashed his teeth. Roderick stepped forward. "We came to rescue you. Did Red not find you?"
"Aye, he, Elam, Gabe found us," Malik answered as two soldiers cut through the crowd with three prisoners in tow.
I recognized the soldiers as Malik's friends and the boys' fathers. They didn't seem very upset about restraining their children for all to see.
"Red," Pepper whispered under her breath.
Red's head hung so low that I couldn't see his face, but his cheeks were crimson. I didn't have to see him to know how upset he was. Elam stood beside him and communicated all we needed to know through a single look. Malik had captured them. He wasn't the man they knew anymore. As this information filtered through our party, shoulders slumped and all hope evaporated. I felt Red's pain as he was held before us and laughed at by his own father. A man who no longer felt love for his own kin. A man changed and poisoned by Slag. If this was what he had feared would happen to his son when I first met him, it was for good reason.
"Thank you for delivering my boy to me. I've wanted him by my side. He will make a great addition to Slag's army. You all will. Well, most of you," Malik said and laughed at Pepper, whose face drained of color.
A soldier leaned in to speak to Malik.
"Sir, Prince Braylon is waiting?"
"Of course. Let me take you to meet your fate. Don't worry, you will soon be passionate for your new lord, King Slag. And then we will be united once again."
Malik slapped Roderick on the shoulder, who seemed to be considering if a good punch in the face would cure Malik of his insanity. Instead, he clenched his jaw tightly and nodded. We were surrounded and led down several corridors to a large open chamber. The darkness in the room seemed to be smothering the light from the candles that hung on chandeliers from the ceiling. A chill coursed through my body and the hairs on my arms stood on end. A man, wearing a simple golden crown, dressed in black, stood before an enormous hearth. He turned to face us as we were brought before him. His eyes shared a similar dull sheen as Malik's, like the light inside them had been snuffed out and replaced with a piece of ice.
"Thank you, Malik. Slag will be informed of your usefulness. You have certainly proven your worth."
Malik bowed and moved back with his friends.
"I am Prince Braylon. And who are all of you?"
I was relieved not to be the first in line because I wasn't sure my voice would come. One by one, the others said their names, and last came Pepper and myself. My throat dried up, and I stuttered as I spoke.
"I understand you thought you could come here and rescue Malik, his friends, and the princess. That was foolish. I bet you wish you hadn't come now."
Prince Braylon stared at the crimson flames, and I thought I saw sadness reflected in his eyes.
"No matter. We will find use for you now. Malik and company. I believe some of these young men are your sons. Which one is yours?" Malik pointed to Red and said, "This one is my boy. I was promised he could serve with me. The other three over there are my men's boys."
"Of course. I will keep our promise," Prince Braylon answered.
"I, however, made no such promise," an icy voice spat from the other side of the room.
All the soldiers, including Prince Braylon, knelt down on one knee. From a shadowy doorway came a figure. I had never seen anyone before who looked more like the Grim Reaper. He was missing the scythe. Otherwise, he'd be a perfect match. A black cloak wrapped his tall frame, and short jet hair covered his head. He glided toward us, never taking his eyes off Prince Braylon. As he passed by me, I noticed the skin on his face was so pale that the thin veins beneath could be seen. If I thought the room was cold before, when this man entered, it grew arctic. I rubbed my arms for warmth, and Pepper huddled next to me.
"Why did you not call me?" he asked Prince Braylon.
"I am sorry, Your Highness. I did not think to disturb you."
"No, you did not think. I thought you learned after last time that I wish to be notified immediately when anyone is brash enough to come into my castle and my land, thinking they can do as they please."
"My apologies, King Slag," Prince Braylon mumbled before standing back up. The other soldiers followed suit, but their heads remained bowed.
"We can't have people thinking they can do as they wish. We can't have them thinking there's hope."
Slag pronounced the P with a popping sound and turned to stare at each one of us. I couldn't bear to meet his eyes and looked at his chest instead.
"However, we could use more soldiers. I see some of you will be of great use to me. Others," he paused before Pepper, "will not."
My heart began to drum in my chest so hard that I worried it would break free and fall into my stomach. Pepper's fingers curled around mine, reminding me to keep breathing. This was very quickly going from bad to worse. My plan. I had to remember my plan. It was the only way.
"I have no use for servants, and I wouldn't waste a sliver of stone from my scepter on a girl. She can be dispensed with. Take her away and kill her."
Pepper's grip tightened around my hand as two guards stepped forward.
"No, wait," I called out and stepped between her and the men approaching her. Roderick and Red broke from line as well and flanked us. Shrill laughter crackled from Slag.
"Do you think you can stop me, boy? How amusing."
"No, sir. I know I can't stop you and your great power. My friend and I are not from your land and have no part in this war. I have information you may be interested in. If I give it to you, I want your word that you will not harm either of us."
A smirk slid across Slag's face.
"Many questions come to mind, child. Why would a young boy like yourself hold valuable information that I don't already have? And what makes you think I can't get this information from any of these men once I have them under my control?"
I swallowed hard and answered, "Because none of them have been in King Richard's private chambers and seen his secret papers." Pepper and Red shifted to stare at me, and I tried to ignore their frightened glances.
"I'm intrigued, young one. Are you able to prove this claim?"
I felt like throwing up as I picked the folded paper out of my pocket and handed it to Slag. I couldn't take the journal I found the secret information in because I couldn't carry it discreetly. But this paper proves I was at the king's desk. Slag unfolded it and his brows pulled together while he read it. When he was through, he stared at me with curiosity and then directed his attention to Malik.
"It seems the king was going to place orders to detain you and your family, Malik. Looks like it was a good time to switch sides."
Red leaned over to look at me with a hurt expression, but I couldn't meet his stares.
I'd lose my nerve. Slag edged so close to me that I could see the veins pulsing in his neck.
What a little thief you are. Well, I'm willing to listen to this valuable information. If I don't find it useful, then there's no deal. Understand?
I felt like I was perched at a 100-foot-high precipice, ready to jump without a safety net. If I was wrong about any of my assumptions, then it was game over. For all of us.
No, Nim, don't tell him anything.
Pepper yanked so hard on my arm that I flinched.
Shh, I have to. I can't let him hurt you.
I pulled myself free of her grasp. I assume you're aware of the princess's power?
Slag snorted.
Is this all? Of course. Every generation there is a child born who is linked to the Elder Tree. A caretaker with a connection that shares the great tree's power. The princess was this person. This is why I destroyed the Elder Tree and had the princess locked high in my tower. I've not killed her because if I do, then another will be born to replace her, opening up the possibility of rekindling the life of the Elder Tree. If I keep her in the tower, then there will never be hope of that. You bore me.
Then you are unaware of how to end the cycle of for good? Destroying all possibility of the Elder Tree ever being brought back? Roderick, Red, Elam, and Gabe lunged for me, but Slag's guards secured them. Their shouts were muffled when their lives were threatened by drawn swords.
No, Nim, please, no!
I had to keep going, as hard as it was to ignore Pepper's pained whispers.
Go on, Nim. It seems your friends don't wish you to tell me your secrets. Which makes me more curious, Slag said.
You have to kill the princess. Prince Braylon, who had been remaining quiet near the fire, stared at me with a hardened grimace. Shouts rose again from my friends, which were hard to ignore.
Well, Nimrod, I fear you are wrong. Like I just told you, if I kill the princess, a new child will be born to take her place.
Not if you kill her at the roots of the Elder Tree. The grin on Slag's face faltered, and Elam's insults were hushed. The room fell silent as everyone watched their king ponder my words.
You say you found this information in King Richard's papers?
Yes, sir, I did. Written in his own hand, hidden in his desk, I muttered.
Bring Princess Amarovia to me,
Slag ordered some nearby soldiers. Two guards slipped from the room and we all waited for their return. Minutes passed until footfalls could be heard coming down the outside corridor. They reemerged with the young woman in their grasp. Her long, flowing brown hair was tangled around her face, but it couldn't conceal her amazing beauty. Amarovia's blue eyes darted around and finally settled on Prince Braylon, who returned her stares.
Good evening, Princess Amarovia. Nice of you to join us. You look terrible. Have you been getting enough beauty sleep?
Slag chuckled and waved lazily at me.
This boy has been filling my head with some very interesting stories.
Her gaze broke from the prince and fell on me instead. Kindness and curiosity were reflected in her eyes as she studied me. All I could do was smile weakly and swallow the lump that had formed in my throat. Once she heard about the trouble I'd stirred up, her sweet grin would be lost for good. What sort of stories? Amarovia's soft voice inquired.
He tells me I can stop the possibility of your successor's rebirth and destroy any chance of the Elder Tree's power touching this land ever again.
Does he? She asked softly.
He tells me that if I kill you at the roots of the Elder Tree, then my reign will be absolute. And this land will be mine. Does he speak the truth?
Slag seemed to be holding his breath as he awaited her answer.
Amarovia gave me a sad smile. It appears you have given away my secret and finally released me from my torture. My heart actually felt like it stopped in my chest. Prince Braylon turned away and stepped toward the fire. He was the only person to dare breathe or move. Everyone else could only stare at the beautiful princess and wait for Slag's response.
Prince Braylon, do you have an issue with killing the princess? Do you not wish to see our reign uncontested?
The prince's voice was low and barely audible. No, sir. I have always been your most loyal subject. I will do as you ask.
Perfection. But it makes me wonder just the same. It seems this little secret has been kept from me. I wonder, Prince Braylon, is this news a surprise to you? Or have you not been as loyal as I thought? Keeping secrets from me? Did my scepter not pierce your heart like I believed it had?
Braylon spun around and tore open his tunic, revealing his chest. Beneath his skin, dark lines condensed into a charcoal knot on the left side of his sternum. Is this evidence enough for you? I never knew what this boy speaks of. I must not have been trusted enough, even though we were once promised to marry. His nostrils flared and his eyes burned with anger. Amarovia stood tall in the midst of Slag's and Braylon's heated discussion, almost forgotten. Her dress was in tatters, her skin dirty. I wondered how long she had been in the tower. How long had she awaited her death after no rescue came? Was she truly relieved to think her end was nearly here? Something inside of me snapped. More than ever, I wanted her to want to live, to fight and survive. If she wouldn't do it for herself, then I would for her. I had been powerless to help Mom. No amount of breakfasts in bed, walks to the store, or reading aloud helped save her from death. No matter how hard I tried. When the end drew near, I could see the same look on her face that Princess Amarovia wore now. She just wanted to be released from her painful life. Well, not if I could help it. I was the one who'd created this story, and I would not allow the princess to die. How could you do this? I trusted you, Red whispered from behind me. I pinched my eyes shut and reminded myself all this was necessary. As long as no one knew my plan, it could work. The ends justified the means.
Looks like you've made some lifelong friends. They don't seem very happy with you for betraying their trust. Come to rescue the princess, and in the end, you're responsible for killing her. It's almost poetic.
Slag's steel eyes fixed on my face, and he moved to stand inches away. Gray veins traced along his skin, making me wonder if he even had blood pumping through his body or if it was oil. I felt everyone's stares but didn't want to return them. Their anger toward me was palpable, and I knew I wasn't the only one who felt it.
"Search him," Slag said, and two guards removed my backpack and checked my pockets.
They pulled out Pepper's dress from my bag. It could have been worse, but not much. As well as the paper, pencil, socks, bandages, and Grandpa's pocket knife. It's not mine, I mumbled about the dress, and the man holding it smirked.
This isn't your day, is it, Nim? Give him his things back. A knife that small couldn't hurt a wood mouse. Well, looks like we're going to take a trip to the Elder Tree. A story like this is just too tempting to pass up. If you're lying to me, I'll kill everyone in your party, starting with your lady friend. Slag waved at Pepper. I have to admit, I've been bored with this stalemate. King Richard's too weak these days to hold off my attack. Anyway. For some time, I've thought about dispensing with you, Amarovia. And now the timing just feels right. Ready the carriages!
We were all handcuffed and led outside. I had no idea what time it was, but it was definitely past dinner. At least that was what my stomach was telling me. Had Aunt Holly noticed I wasn't home? Would she worry? Would I ever make it back? Pepper stood nearby and avoided looking at me. Malik had his hand on Red's shoulder, but Red hadn't stopped staring at the ground since he was captured. The only one who didn't appear devastated was Slag, who climbed into his royal carriage and had Prince Braylon and Princess Amarovia join him. A barred carriage drove up, and Roderick, Elam, Gabe, Red, Pepper, and I were pushed inside. Several soldiers climbed up front, and Malik called out, "This will soon be over. Your new king will find your value, and we will be joined once again." Red's eyes pinched shut as though he wished he were asleep, and when he woke, things would be happy again. Pepper scooted away from me on the wooden bench, and Elam leaned forward and growled, "I could kill you now, but it wouldn't do us any good, traitor." "I don't want no trouble back there, or I'll chain you behind us and make you walk the whole way," one of the guards shouted from up front. Elam leaned back and stared into the distance, clearly deciding ignoring me was the best choice for now. I swallowed the lump in my throat and tried to calm my racing heart. I'd never liked threats of bodily harm, especially from angry teenagers with unbalanced testosterone levels. If this didn't work out, I was dead no matter what. "Pepper." She turned away from me and muttered, "You're not the person I thought you were. Don't talk to me." "Oi, I said shut it back there." The guard banged his fist against the bars, and I thought maybe being dragged behind the carriage was better than being ignored by my friend. But I decided it would be best to just shut up and stay quiet. The sound of the horse's hooves on the gravel became my focus instead of how hated I'd become in the period of an hour. But really, what else was new? I pulled my backpack off and dug around until I found a small bit of granola bar crumbled at the bottom of the bag and pocketed it for later. As hungry as I was, I had a better use for it. After a long, bumpy ride, we finally stopped. We had arrived at the gates and entrance to the Elder Tree. The soldiers, holding torches, jumped down from their seats and Malik unlocked the back of our carriage. Slag, Prince Braylon, and Princess Amarovia stood waiting for us at the side of the road.
"After you, Princess," Slag said, holding his torch out.
We walked, one by one, down the narrow pathway in the inky dark. Tall crags rose above us, and shadows moved as the light from the flames licked at the air. Icy blue eyes shone down on us, and claws scratched on stone perches overhead. I breathed a sigh of relief when I spotted a pair of purple eyes amongst the rest. The trail widened and opened up into what I assumed was the large basin. Without the light of the moon or stars, I could only guess where we were, because I couldn't see more than a few feet ahead of me. We fanned out, and I watched Amarovia stumble toward a tall, black shape.